The Warner Brothers movie studio announced last week that its entire lineup of films, scheduled for release next year, will debut in theaters and on the HBO Max streaming app at the same time. Some of those movies include blockbusters like Dune, The Matrix 4, The Suicide Squad, the musical In the Heights, and more. It's expected to put a dent into the movie theater business, and even some film directors have criticized the move, which could have a lasting impact on the industry. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you prefer to watch movies? If a film was streaming and premiering in theaters on the same day, which would you choose? Do you see yourself going to the movies as often as you used to when the pandemic is done? Are you eager to go back and see movies at the big screen? Are you okay staying home no matter what? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Brent Lang is executive editor of film and media at Variety. He covers Hollywood studios and their parent companies. Brent, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this announcement got a lot of attention from movie industry people and film buffs. So, like, how big a deal is this that it's Warner Brothers in particular making this announcement?
Oh, it's a huge deal. It's a sign of enormous change that's sweeping across the industry. It's a signal that Hollywood believes its future is in streaming, and that the theatrical marketplace, which has been its source of strength, its source of power, is waning. It really can't be overemphasized. I mean, it's a cliche to say something is a game changer, but this is a game changer.
The pandemic already hurting movie theaters a lot, obviously. Are people seeing this as a, I don't know, doom for the theater as we know it, even after we come back from the pandemic?
Well, it's certainly not good news for movie theaters. I mean, movie theaters have a lot of different issues that that have been kind of exposed because of the pandemic. For example, a lot of the major chains took on an enormous amount of debt pre-pandemic to rip up their theaters and create oversized seating and all kinds of things. Well, that couldn't have come at a worse time, because then they had to endure months without any revenue and they're kind of struggling without any movies to show. So for this kind of announcement to be made, that's just, you know, potentially catastrophic for a lot of major movie theater chains. And Warner Brothers had historically been a big proponent of the theatrical experience. So I think this signals that they feel that the viability of theaters isn't what it once was. And plus the fact they're going and putting their entire slate on HBO Max signals that they think that theater going won't come back in a big way by the summer, which is when I think a lot of cinemas had hoped vaccines would be widely distributed and maybe it would be back to business as usual. This indicates, no, the industry kind of thinks it's more like a 12 to 14 month period.
Getting to the streaming side of things, this isn't coincidence that Warner Brothers just happened to ink a deal with HBO Max, right? They're effectively the same company. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. They're all owned by Warner Media, which is in turn owned by AT&T. And AT&T bought Warner Brothers in, I think, 2017 or so, thereabouts. And since AT&T took over as a parent company, the emphasis has been in launching HBO Max, which is this streaming challenger to Netflix. So it's a new parent company with a new set of priorities, in sort of without the kind of legacy, vestigial sort of relationships that would make this kind of move seem unthinkable just a few years ago.
Well, and then people are worried or concerned maybe that this has a domino effect. So if HBO Max can be sold as, hey, you could see these new movies, blockbusters on opening day, does that mean Disney movies are going to make the same decision? Do other services that might have done that theatrical window release first have to switch it just like Warner Brothers did to keep up?
I think you'll see some of that. Disney has an investor day on Thursday, and they're expected to announce that some of their upcoming movies will premiere on Disney Plus, their streaming service, much the same way that these movies are premiering on HBO Max. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of now it's time for other studios to counter what Warner Brothers did. Because if you have a streaming service, you're looking at this slate, and it's pretty intimidating. You have Wonder Woman 1984, Dune, The Matrix 4, The Many Saints of Newark, which is a Sopranos prequel, Godzilla vs. Kong, The Suicide Squad. These are really, really big event films that are coming and going to be made available to HBO Max streaming customers. Now, that said, they need to do something like this because I bet a lot of your listeners don't have HBO Max and are pretty ignorant about HBO Max. It's a streaming service that launched last spring with about zero buzz. So it needed to do something pretty dramatic, and that's exactly what it did here.
I'll speak for myself. I don't have HBO Max, and I was pretty ignorant about it until today. We're talking to Brent Lang from Variety. Talked about this announcement from Warner Brothers, the movie studio, saying, hey, next year, all our big movies, all our movies, released the same day on our streaming service, HBO Max, as they are in the theaters. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If there's that option, would you watch that new release movie at home on opening day, or do you still want to go to a theater? 800-642-1234. Darren is with us now in Green Bay. Darren, hello.
Hey, thanks for having me. My comment on this is that I would still go to the movie theater to see these films that, unless you're a wealthy person like a backup player that has your own in-home theater, you're never going to replace the sound system and the size of the screen. And I remember seeing Revenge of the Sith, the crowd experience, kind of like going to the theater. As soon as the typical words came up in a galaxy long ago, far, far away, some clown at the front said, oh, I've already seen this one. And the theater erupted in laughter. And you're not going to replace that at home. And I feel that having people shut in their rabbit hutches watching things from home only really benefits Jeff Bezos and Amazon. And they're trying to get people away from human interaction. And we found from COVID that that's something that we sorely need. And it's an American tradition, for goodness sake. And you can't ever really take the theater away. And if they do actually put a seat between you and the next person, I really don't see the harm in it, you know.
Darren, thanks a lot for the call. Brent, that's what I think movie theater owners are hoping to hear. People like Darren who say you really can't replicate the sound system and the social experience. Are there enough people like that, though, to keep the theaters open in the future?
Well, that's the big question, and you're absolutely right. That's the argument, what Darren just said, that movie theater owners are making, that you can't replicate this experience. The one thing I would say is that in-home screens have gotten substantially bigger and substantially better over the past decade. So I'm not sure that the gap between the in-home experience and the theatrical experience is quite as wide as it once was.
Thanks so much for that call. And that is a big deal. A home TV is not going to be the same as a theater with that awesome Dolby sound system, but it might be good enough in a way that those old TVs 20 years ago weren't. People are more willing to watch that movie at home than they used to be. And I think that was true even before the pandemic, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at what people are talking about, the sort of the water cooler show or film, a lot of that is on Netflix. Netflix, I think, has gotten people acclimated to a certain kind of quality programming. People are talking about The Queen's Gambit or The Crown in a way that they once talked about going to see Batman. I mean, it absolutely, or Tiger King. These are things that have really permeated the wider culture in a manner that really movies were the only kind of art form that did, I'd say, 10, 20 years ago.
We're talking to Brent Lang, executive editor of film and media at Variety, looking at the decision by Warner Brothers to debut their films next year in theaters and on the HBO Max streaming service at the same time. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Okay, here you are. It's release day for the movie you've been looking forward to. You have the option to go to a theater or watch it at home. Which do you do? Which are you most likely to choose? Is there something special for you about seeing movies on the big screen? Do you have a hankering to get back to a movie theater once the pandemic gets settled out? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Brent Lang, editor at Variety, looking at a decision by Warner Brothers to put its 2021 lineup of films on streaming and in theaters at the same time and what it can mean for the movie business and the way we watch movies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you still want to see movies at big theaters when you can again? Or are you happy to have the option of seeing a new movie streamed? 800-642-1234. Brent, before we go back to our callers, some people in the movie business are not happy. The production company that funded Dune says, hey, this isn't what we signed up for. They say they're thinking about maybe suing Warner Brothers, reportedly. Director Christopher Nolan, who's done a movie or two, says he and other filmmakers, quote, went to bed the night before thinking they were working for the greatest movie studio and woke up to find out they were working for the worst streaming service, end quote. So the possible backlash here we're seeing from the movie industry itself.
Yeah, that's a pretty napalm-laced comment by Christopher Nolan. You don't make that kind of statement unless you're feeling pretty aggrieved about the studio. And he may be the most public about it, but I think there are a lot of other filmmakers who feel that Warner Brothers didn't handle this in the most respectful way. Denis Villeneuve, the director of Dune, is upset about this, and several other filmmakers who were involved in the movies that are going to HBO Max don't love this idea. And that's a problem, too, because you need to keep creative talent in your corner if you're going to compete with Netflix and with Disney. You need people like Christopher Nolan making big, exciting, buzzy movies. And if they feel like you're not talent-friendly, That could become a big problem for them.
Let's go back to our callers. Sue is with us in Oconomowoc. Sue, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Sue?
Well, as I said, I'm on my way home from the Majestic Theater in Brookfield. I really like going to see movies on the big screen. One thing that I miss, though, is that you don't have a remote when you miss something. But the second thing is, you go there to stay there and not move and be distracted by something. You know, the sound is good, the screens are bigger, and now they've come out with these huge reclining chairs that sometimes you think you're going to fall asleep in. But, you know, even having a big, big TV at home, you're still distracted. And right now, Marcus is offering a deal on Christmas movies. And I'm thinking about going back and seeing White Christmas on the big screen because it's a whole different experience.
Sue, now, thanks a lot for the call. Brent, again, there's that experience and that I like that. I know when I'm watching a movie at home, I'm more prone to maybe look at my phone or get up or, you know, not focus in. That focused movie experience is harder to replicate at home.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a person who loves going to the movies. You know, in pre-pandemic times, I went probably once a week, once every 2 weeks. But is that a generational thing? I'm not sure that younger people have the same kind of reverence for the sort of experience that Stu was describing that I have either. You know, I think people like to experience content in different ways. Some people like to be doing a text chain as they watch a film or show. And that's something that obviously is frowned upon in movies. So, you know, there are lots of different experiences, lots of people who like art forms that fade in and out of favor. People still love vinyl. That hasn't gone away. I mean, I don't know if the movie theaters are going to be quite that extreme, but I think you are looking at an art form that's cultural primacy is fading.
Sue, thanks for the call. We'll go to Charlotte now in Milwaukee. Charlotte, hi.
Hello. Hey, I at first said that I love the choice that you can have, you know what I mean, to choose to go or choose to stay at home. But I was thinking about the word pirating. I mean, it used to be legal to, like, stream movies at your house, you know what I mean, like have movies playing at your house. I feel like we're cheating the theaters.
Cheating the theaters, Charlotte. Interesting. I mean, this is legal. This is not like the old days of illegal piracy, Brent, but maybe it's not cheating them, but movie theaters will definitely feel left out of the economic loop here, I imagine.
Well, they definitely are, and I think they're worried that this is going to cannibalize their business because their sort of value proposition to consumers is, if you want to see Suicide Squad or you want to see The Matrix 4 before anyone else, you have to see it in our theaters. Well, that is a sales pitch that has to get pretty fundamentally altered when Warner Brothers makes a move like this. And it's not so much, I think, they're cheating movie theaters exactly, but they are depriving them of a revenue stream, which puts pressure on the exhibition industry, you know, overall, which limits the number of movies that are going to be made for that industry. So there is a cascade effect, and it's not necessarily a positive one if you are a person who likes cinemas.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Brett Lang from Variety, looking at Warner Brothers saying, hey, we're going to release all our movies in the theaters and on our streaming service HBO Max at the same time next year. A lot of ripple effects expected from that. Back to your calls. Susan is with us in Oregon. Susan, hi.
Hi, I agree with the first caller, Sue. I would really miss not being able to go to movie theaters. I love the big screen, and I love dedicating an evening to going out, having a meal in the theater sometimes, or having popcorn. And I don't really feel that great about watching movies on the little screen at home.
Interesting. Susan, thanks a lot for the call. And Brent, you were talking earlier about all the money that theaters invested into meeting Susan's needs there and making that trip to the movie theater really an experience. And, you know, maybe we're really going to want that after the pandemic. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that. They did do that. They outfitted their places with these big comfy chairs that I think Sue described. Now, those all come at a higher ticket price. The problem also is, what is the sort of economic proposition? If we come out of this pandemic and the economy is bad and people are really hurting and they don't have the same kind of disposable income, they may look at something like HBO Max and say, that's actually a very good value proposition for me, whereas spending the same amount that you would spend on a monthly subscription for HBO Max to go see one movie is not as good, as enticing a value proposition. So it all kinds of depends on what does the economy look like too, on the tail end of this public health crisis.
Thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. Paula is with us in Madison. Paula, hi.
Hi. My concern is it's one of the things I like to do with my grandchildren on a rainy day, and it's a whole experience. It includes, you know, having the popcorn and the whole deal, buying the candy and all that. So that would be, for me, a sad thing to lose that kind of experience. The other thing is, and I guess people don't have them anymore, but like a first date, that was always a safe place to go for a first date.
Paula, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's more of a commitment to say, I'm going to go over to your house on the first date to stream that movie. But also that family experience. Now, Brent, it's not all doom and gloom. We're not necessarily going to lose theaters across the board here. I don't want to overstate that point, I guess.
No, absolutely. I think it's a challenge for theaters, a huge challenge. And it's probably true that many theater chains are going to go bankrupt during this pandemic because it's been such a difficult time for them. But, you know, art forms stay around even after they kind of cede some ground to other art forms. People still listen to the radio. They still listen to opera. They still go to operas. They still go to theater. I mean, it's not that this is, I'm not predicting that movie theaters are going to be extinct, just that they're going to be fundamentally altered.
Let's flip things around, Brent, and talk about movie making. If I'm making a movie with the thought that the first set of eyes that's going to watch it is in a theater with a huge screen versus I'm making it and maybe most of the people who see it are watching it on their TV at home, however big their screen is, am I making a different movie?
You know, you definitely could make that argument. I think somebody like Christopher Nolan would make his argument that I make big movies and they are to be enjoyed on the biggest screen possible. That said, you know, I think you've seen as a lot of studios move away from kind of exciting or interesting or challenging fare and in favor of superhero and comic book movies almost exclusively, a number of very talented filmmakers like Spike Lee and Martin Scorsese and David Fincher have actually gone to streaming services like Netflix, where they're doing superlative work. that is being supported by them. So I don't think it's true that there's necessarily a change in quality depending on what platform you're releasing your movies on.
We'll leave it there, Brent. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Brent Lang is executive editor of film and media at Variety. He talked with us about what simultaneous theater and streaming releases could mean for the movie industry after Warner Brothers announced a plan to debut its films on the HBO Max streaming app. You can keep sharing your thoughts, by the way, email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.